This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we welcome you to every Monday night as we take the biblical principles and put them into practical use in the 21st century family.
And tonight we're talking about something super practical.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about how do you teach your kids interview skills. You know, that's not something people really think about. When they make a list of what do I want my teen to know when they leave home, interview skills probably doesn't generally make the list.
It probably is not a separate list item. And yet, you know, how many times in our, you know, in our lives do we have to sit down and answer questions, explain ourselves, you know, be interviewed for a job, for a scholarship, for a college application?
Well, you know what? Interview skills recently got our child $120,000 worth of scholarship.
That is a worthwhile investment.
It really is. And it was because of the interview. It really was. You know, the college president called him and said, "Yeah, I'm so sorry I didn't get a chance to meet you on scholarship day, but the professors that interviewed you were so blown away. They said that if I didn't give you the scholarship, they were going to look for a job at a different college." Mm-hmm. So his interview skills just got him free tuition for college.
You know, I think this is one of those things that comes in under the heading of being as wise as serpents and innocent as doves.
Yes.
You know, you want to be honest, you want to be transparent, but you want to be wise in what you're communicating to people.
Yes.
To give them the right impression, not to deceive them, but to make sure that they do receive the right impression and a true impression of what you're bringing to their organization, to their scholarship program, or whatever.
So, Hal, tonight, let's talk about two different kinds of interviews that your teens are likely to face in the next few years.
Okay, well, I mean, just recently we've had a couple that have been out looking for employment opportunities. So let's talk about the job interview. Let's talk about how do you prepare a young person to go and do a face-to-face job interview.
And then later this evening, let's talk about interviews for college, for scholarships, for admission, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Well, all right, so I guess one of the first things that I remember people telling me, and I found this to be true, is, you know, what is appropriate dress for an interview situation? You know, they say, figure out what it is that you want to do or what you're being interviewed for and dress one step up from that.
Right.
Okay, so what was that? What would that look like?
Well, so if you walked into, you were interviewing for a job at an office and you walked into the office like kind of casing the joint beforehand,
mm-hmm,
and you saw that everybody's pretty much wearing jeans and a button down.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably want to wear khakis and a button-down.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody's wearing...
Or maybe jeans and a button-down and a blazer.
Right.
Something to dress it up just a little, a notch higher.
Right.
Not to come in...
You want to dress like the managers, really.
Yeah, like the supervisor for the position that you're going to.
Right. And so, like, if you walk in and it's an engineering job and the engineers are wearing khakis and a polo, you might want to wear khakis and a button-down and a blazer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you need to dress a level above. If you're interviewing for a lifeguard job and the lifeguards are wearing bathing suits, clearly you don't show up for the interview in a bathing suit.
No.
Instead, you might show up in slacks and a nice polo.
Right. Right.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, like you might say the pool manager might be wearing, because he's not going to be sitting up on the lifeguard stand.
Right. And so a good rule of thumb is to dress like the supervisor of the position that you're applying for.
Well, that's one thing that they said is kind of attractive to people that are interviewing a candidate, is to say, this is somebody who has potential to be promoted.
And so you want to look like somebody who is able to be promoted. You want to look like you would slot right into that manager job.
Somebody is going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned kind of casing the joint. I think that's something I've always tried to be real careful about, is to get to really, to know something about the company, about the position, to do some homework before you show up.
And this is kind of hard to wrap your mind around, because you're sending out a slew of resumes, and you get a call, and you go in, and that's just one company among dozens to you. But to the people that work there, it's their lives.
Yeah.
And it's really important. And so they're going to expect you to have some knowledge of what they do, of where their company stands in the standings for that industry, mm-hmm. of what they're known for.
Yeah, and you like to, you know, this is something, this is so much easier now than when we were this age. You know, when we were this age, what would you do? Go to the library, read the Dun & Bradstreet report or something? Yeah. But now you can just Google a company name.
It's also a good way to find out if there are issues. Like, I remember a while back, a young man we knew told me he was so excited he'd gotten a job. And I just Googled the name of the company and the word scam. And found out that an awful lot of people who had worked for this company believed it was a scam.
Mm. Okay.
And so doing some initial investigation can help you find out, is this a company about to go out of business? You don't want to take that job.
Yeah. And that's kind of a, all right. That touches on something I think we need to elaborate on, but in a few minutes. And that is that when you go in to interview for a job, they are interviewing you to see if they want to offer you a job, but you are also interviewing them to see if you would be willing to accept one.
Yes.
And I'd like to come back to that. But that thing about knowing a little bit about the company, it does two things. It'll let you know if there's any, you know, yellow or red flags out there, but also it will show that you cared enough to do some homework.
Make you stand out.
To show some knowledge. And that's even, I mean, the most basic kind of jobs, even if you're going to be working, you know, doing a fast food job or doing something of that sort, at least if you know a little bit about this particular location, mm-hmm. you know, have they expanded recently? Did somebody get promoted? You can find these things at a local news site, you know, your local yeah. newspaper site.
So another thing you need to do is you need to be very familiar with your own resume and be able to coherently tell your story. To tell a short version, like mm-hmm. the elevator speech, you know,
yeah.
3 minutes or less, explain your history, your employment history, and what mm-hmm. you want for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to answer deeper questions, because if you can't, it's going to look like you made up things on your resume.
And this can be a little bit harder, because nowadays I think people apply to so many different jobs. And, you know, the best advice says, well, you need to customize your resume a little bit to emphasize the things that this particular job is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
That means the resume that you are talking about on Tuesday may be different than the resume you're talking about on Thursday. They're both true, but they emphasize different things. And so you do have to, again, this is part of your homework and your preparation, is to say, what are these people looking for? What am I emphasizing about my own experience or my own talents and interests? Or whatever, so that when they say, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. An awful question.
That's awkward.
Don't you hate those? And that's uniform.
Yeah, they always ask it. You also need to have some questions in mind you can ask them, but you have to be really careful here. You can't sound critical. You don't want to ask them about their dirty laundry. You know, you've got to instead ask something that is perceptive, mm-hmm. that shows you've been thinking, but that isn't critical. Something like, you don't want to say, well, how much vacation will I get? Never ask about the salary or benefits in the first interview.
No, salary and benefits, you stay off that.
After the job and offer.
Yeah. And, you know, if they ask you, well, what do you want to make out of this job? You know, the advice I got, and it's pretty good, is to say, well, I am sure that whatever you're offering will be equitable. You know,
right.
I'm sure you'll make me a fair offer. That you'll make a fair offer. You know, you don't want to. Because if they're gonna offer you $15 an hour and you say, "Oh, I'm desperate for this. If I can make $8 to $10 an hour, I'll be happy." They'll say, "Ka-ching! I'll put that $5 back in the budget."
And you know, that kind of thing has happened to us. We've had people offer us speaking engagements, and we've said, "Well, what do you think is fair?"
Mm-hmm.
And they've offered us more than we would dare ask. Now, sometimes they've offered us less than we could afford to pay.
Well, and then, in those kind of situations, you can be honest and you can be politely transparent to say, you know, I really need to make more than this in order for this to work out, you know, and that's a different part. That's the negotiation phase.
But you don't talk about money or benefits until after you have a job offer in hand.
Right.
Some questions that are acceptable is you can say, well, can you tell me more about the duties of this job? What does this job, what does this job look like on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, what's a typical day look like for this position?
You can ask, what are the opportunities for advancement?
Mm-hmm.
You can ask, are you planning to expand?
Yeah, you can ask, do you promote people from within, or do you prefer to bring in people from outside when you have an opening?
You've got to be super positive. And that means that if they ask you about a previous employer, even if you had a bad experience, you can't complain about a previous employer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really kind of awkward. But if you complain that they have such a brief window of time to get to know you, it makes you look like a whiner.
Yeah, they get you tagged as, this guy could be trouble down the road. This is somebody who is going to be a discontented employee and is going to talk bad about us if we have to discipline them.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to tag yourself as an ingrate, you know, as a disloyal employee. So even if you got fired from a previous job or if you had a very bad experience, the less said about that, the best.
Yes, and you need to find a positive way to respond to each of the jobs in your resume.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody says, tell me a little bit about when you worked for such and such, find something positive to say, something you learned, you grew doing, something interesting about the job.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, one thing, some really, 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 really good advice I got somewhere is to try and anticipate the questions they might ask you. And some of those are easy. You know, tell me about yourself. You know, what did you do in a previous job? Why are you interested in this job? But, you know, the other things, they may ask you questions that are difficult. In fact, I found when doing, like, media interviews, the best preparation that I could do for media interviews, besides the positive message I wanted to get out, was to ask myself, is there any question that I just pray that they don't ask me? If there is, that's the one I need to be prepared to answer. That's the one I need to practice a brief, positive, you know, good answer for that question. Because then, you know, all the easier stuff, it just flows.
Right. And so you need some other things you might consider with objections is, if you're a homeschool student, sometimes people have a stereotype of homeschooling that isn't accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might be concerned that you're not going to be comfortable working with people who believe differently than you are.
Or that you're going to be painfully shy, or that you're going to need constant supervision.
And so you need to be prepared to answer those objections with an example. That's the strongest answer to an objection is not, oh no, that's not true. But to say, oh no, I am completely comfortable working with people with varying beliefs. For example, when I did my job with Meals on Wheels, we had people from all kinds of different organizations working with us, all kinds of different ethnicities, and we were a very happy family.
Yeah. So those are all very good. So I guess those are some nutshell things with this whole question. Be positive, you know? Try to anticipate difficult questions so that you can have a good answer prepared. You know, be forward-looking. You show up and look like somebody who knows a little bit about the job, knows a little bit about the company, and might be promotable material one day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be critical of former employers, and anything else you want to add on to that. And don't push about salaries and wages and benefits.
In fact, don't even mention it. Don't even go there. It's really important not to go there. You want to save that for the negotiation fee phase. Another thing is, sometimes they ask another really awkward question, how can you contribute to their success? They don't want you to save their company. They just need you to say something like, I'm young and I have strength and energy, or I'm excited about learning how to contribute.
I'm a fast learner. I work well with other people. You know, I love to find the person who's best on the job and then figure out how they do the job and learn from them. You know, any of those kind of things that... If you can put yourself into the manager's head a little bit and think,
right,
I'm going to hire somebody for our team. What kind of team member do I want? I want somebody that's teachable, right, somebody that will take supervision, somebody that can take criticism without blowing up or breaking down. You know, I want somebody that's going to think about the job, not just show up, punch the clock, and, you know, twiddle their thumbs until the time goes home. You know, you want to be a valued team member. And you know, another thing too to keep in mind, sometimes if we start, you know, looking for jobs and things, and you might go out and apply to 3 or 4 or 5 or 20 different places, and you might look at the particular place and say, I'm really not that excited about this particular one. The dream job I'm still waiting to hear from. But you know what? You can still go in with a very positive outlook and shoot for the job, because you don't have to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, if you had offers from, if you have offers from 5 different employers, you can pick and choose. Whereas if you try to hold off one in order to get the dream job, you might end up with nothing.
Well, Hal, we need to talk about our sponsor, SchoolhouseTeachers.com. You know, I love Schoolhouse Teachers. One of the big advantages is you get full access to all 6 of the Schoolhouse planners. And that means you can have, you can print a planner for yourself. You can print planners for all of your kids.
Are they by different grade levels?
Yeah, there's different ones for teens versus younger kids. It's really cool because you just get, it makes planning easy. They're not, I don't like planners that want me to plan everything to death.
Mm-hmm.
The Schoolhouse planners are super encouraging. They have Gina's Hey Mama letters sprinkled throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And they have lots of great forms and things that I can use. They're just really useful.
Well, and that's a really important thing. Again, a life skill to be teaching, especially your older students, is to be teaching them to start to manage their time, to start to be aware of how their time's spent. And that very naturally comes into their school planning. And boy, if you're teaching multiple kids, to have older kids that can take a hand in planning their own work, that is a big help.
Well, you know, and I just found out something new about Schoolhouse Planner. Did you know that they have, like, courses to teach you to play the guitar?
Honestly.
I had a child asking about this recently.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think to look here. And now we can go out here and I can set them up with this and they can learn how to play the guitar.
That is great. Well, you know what? This is a really neat resource. And you know, who doesn't need some resources to help stretch your efforts as a homeschooling parent? You come out to schoolhouseteachers.com.
Over 200 courses, folks. It's really awesome. Schoolhouseteachers.com. By our friends at the Old Schoolhouse Magazine. Now, let's talk about college interviews, because I think few people realize how important these are. For many colleges, particularly Christian and the elite colleges, they're going to require an interview for acceptance to the college.
Right.
But the interviews that are really tough, that you've got to really know what you're doing, are the scholarship interviews.
And you really do want to do the scholarship interviews.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. An important thing to do with your kids, if you want them to succeed at college interviews, is to role play them.
So you just set yourself up as the interviewer and ask those awkward questions yourself.
Yes. And if they have trouble doing it, say, well, then let's switch. Mm-hmm. You pretend to be the interviewer and I'll be the student. And let me show how I might answer.
Uh-huh.
A couple of important things about that is your child has got to be the dominant person from the moment you hit the college campus. Parents are their guest, are like their aides de camp, but the child has got to be in charge.
That's important, really, for any kind of interview, because I think not just homeschoolers. Homeschoolers get a reputation for having helicopter parents, but honestly, it's cultural right now. There's so many people that are overprotecting their kids and are trying to not just clear the way for them, but to drag them by the hand through the whole process of becoming an adult, and when really they need to be sort of nudged along into that. And so yes, definitely when it's time to contact the college, the student needs to contact the college, the student needs to talk to the admissions office, the student needs to be the one that walks in the door first and says, hi, I'm Joe Smith and these are my parents, Bob and Betty Smith.
Absolutely. And when it comes to scholarship interviews, the student's probably going to be by themselves with 1 or 2 professors and sometimes 1 or 2 students as well. And the kind of questions they ask are those awkward questions like, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me what your favorite subject is. Tell me what your least favorite subject is. Your student needs to think of probably 3 to 5 special things about themselves, things that make them stand out compared to other students. Everybody has them.
That was something that really I was really impressed with one of our students who had really great academic records. we interviewed at, or he went to interview at one of the elite colleges in our area, and the admissions officer said, look, I have my desk covered up with people with perfect SAT scores. I want to know what makes you different from all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. the things that they picked up on were the extracurricular activities,
yes.
the personal interest.
That he'd worked as a janitor at a mega church, that he'd done some filmmaking. What is it that makes you unique?
Well, an interesting thing about this is that colleges, even more so than businesses, colleges are kind of building a team, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for students that are not only going to, you know, be able to handle the academic work, but they're looking for students that are going to add something to the campus life that's yes. going to make their college more interesting for other students and are going to enhance the learning that goes on for everybody.
And so they're looking to find the kids that stand out, that are a little bit different, a little bit unique, not necessarily the best academically, but the students who are going to bring something special to the campus or are likely to do something special afterwards and reflect glory on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
So think of 3 to 5 things. That might be, I'm really good at football. It might be, I'm an interesting person who works on filmmaking. Or I am someone who has an interesting background in my volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just think of 3 to 5 messages you want to share with them about what makes you unique, the unique and interesting things you've done.
And that'll help them also to remember you.
Yes.
When you say, I'm the one who not only taught myself to play Celtic harp, I built my own.
Right.
That's going to stick in their heads. And they're going to say, oh, you remember the one who built his own harp?
Right.
And that always helps.
And so think of 3 to 5 messages that you want to share, and then practice sharing about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then role play ways they can ask you questions and you can share one of your strengths. And you think, wow, that's kind of weird, but this is the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
So someone might say, well, what did you like best about homeschooling? Well, you could just kind of babble for a while about how you love your family, or...
And I like never having to get dressed in the morning, and...
wearing pajamas to lunch. That's not likely to impress them.
That's not going to impress them, because that's not the real world, even on their campus.
But you could say, I really liked having the opportunity to dig deep into the things that interested me.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I was interested in economics and politics, and I was able to get an internship because I had flexible hours because I was homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an internship writing articles for a local economic journal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it is. And a real example. And so...
Yeah. Now, one tricky part, though, is what about when they ask you to tell on yourself?
Okay, when they won't say, well, what would you say is your greatest weakness?
Or what do you hate about homeschooling? Mm-hmm. Now, that's really tricky, but you have to realize what they're asking. Because Christians are honest. We ought to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that being honest does not necessarily mean answering the question every question someone gives you.
And you can often take these questions and turn them around to highlight a strength.
Because what they want to know is they want to know, do you recognize that you have weaknesses? And
is there some humility in this person?
Is there some humility in there? Are there any bombs we ought to know about?
Yeah.
And so one way to answer that, what is your greatest weakness? You say, well, you know, one of my weaknesses is I'm a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a really hard time finishing things on time because I'm working so hard to get them perfect.
And see, and that is a confession. There's a transparency to say, maybe I have a little challenge with deadlines, but it's because of this love of the details is what it's saying, too.
And it sounds a whole lot better than saying,
I never finish anything on time.
I'm always late.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to present yourself in the best light. Tell the truth in the best light possible.
Yeah. And that's good. And, you know, just as you want to keep a kind of a short list of strengths that you want to highlight, keep one or two weaknesses that you can toss in there that you already know how to present.
Right.
You know, then don't just come off the top of your head and say, oh, you know, I just sleep till noon all the time. I'm so lazy in the morning. That's not going to help. But...
Let me give them another possible answer to the what do you hate about homeschooling, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One possible answer is, well, you know, I wish sometimes I could have learned some of the things I learned from an expert in the subject because, you know, my parents did a great job and they got me help as much as they were able. Mm-hmm. But it would have been fascinating to talk to someone who was an expert in literature. Instead, I had to go out and go to the library and hunt down books and, mm-hmm. and read books on my own and try to compare them to other things. Okay, do you see, that answer says...
That answer is saying, yeah, there's something that your college can do for me that I couldn't do at home, and that can get, put me in the classroom in front of an expert, but guess what? I proved that I have what it takes to go out and teach myself, that I can go study on my own without being, you know, spoon-fed.
And that's a very different answer from, well, my parents just weren't experts in every subject, and so they're... You know, I really wish I could have had a better teacher.
Yeah.
That comes across very differently, mm-hmm. although it says the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to practice that to be able to do that on the fly. And that's why role-playing is so powerful. Because if you role-play some of these answers with your kids, perfect the answer, say, well, that was pretty good, but what if you said this in addition? Then when they walk into a high-stress interview, like a college scholarship interview, they're going to be comfortable, they're going to be able to function well, and they're going to come across smelling like a rose. Now, we need to talk about dress, because we have seen kids, oh my word, we've been to these scholarship days, and we've been to college interviews.
And see kids with, like, cut-off blue jeans and t-shirts. Flip-flops.
That's really foolish.
That's not the time to do that.
And it's not even business casual.
No.
It's business dress.
Mm-hmm.
Guys need to be wearing khakis or dress slacks, a button-down shirt, and a jacket at minimum, and preferably with a tie.
Mm-hmm.
Young ladies need to be wearing dress slacks or a skirt,
mm-hmm.
And a pretty blouse, and preferably a jacket. Mm-hmm. You know, it needs to be dressed up business attire, and that is without exception. And it's really, really important that they wear it a bunch of times before they get to the interview.
So they don't look uncomfortable with it, yeah.
Go to church, wear it enough. Because do you remember an admissions officer told us one time, this is for a very elite college,
mm-hmm.
that he could always tell if it was the first time a young man had worn a tie.
Yeah.
Because when he was sitting there in the middle of the interview, he would be messing with his tie constantly.
Yeah.
You know, that's really bad. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, you gotta realize... Okay, you know, college students tend to be very relaxed and informal. Okay, that's fine. That's sort of expected in the student's culture. But when you're going for an interview like this, you're saying, I want to be one of your stars. I want to be the one that you introduce to the alumni. I want to be the one that you put big numbers into my student account so that I don't have to get checks from my parents. And so you've got to impress them that, hey, I'm a cut above the average slacker that walks through your gates with the minimal requirements.
They also need to be prepared to adjust their clothing. For example, if they show up in khakis, a blazer, a button-down, and a tie, then if everybody is more casual than that, they can take their tie off and roll it up and put it in their pocket,
mm-hmm.
and open the top button of their shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're maybe they meet with the professors in the morning and they're meeting with students in the afternoon, they can take the blazer off and roll up the cuffs of their shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very adjustable look.
Yeah.
And you can adjust it up or down as need be, and that's really important in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because, frankly, you want to be at the upper level of the way everybody else is dressed. Not at the bottom, but in the top quarter. You don't have to be the most dressed up one there, but you should be in the top quarter.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, these are all things that we have been through ourselves many times and that we are taking our young people through, and we've been blessed with success on a lot of these kind of trips, you know, with our guys heading off to college and scholarships and working on interviews for internships and work after the school life is done. Take it from us. I mean, these are real life examples and real life helps that you want to consider. One resource I'd like to mention, the best resource that I ever had for dealing with interview situations, is a series of books by a man named Martin Yate. And that's Y-A-T-E. The series is basically called Knock 'Em Dead. And he's got different books on preparing resumes, on interview skills. He got a whole bunch of career building things. Great, great resources. And he talks a lot about this role playing, preparing yourself for the tricky questions. Some of the things that you say, why in the world would you ask me something like that? There's a reason.
Yes, there is. And you want to give them an answer that gives them what they're looking for, but shows you in the best possible light. Help your kids learn this important skills. Guys, we are looking forward to talking to you next week on mm-hmm. Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Don't forget to visit our sponsor, schoolhouseteachers.com, mm-hmm. and we will see you then.
Great. So thanks for listening, everybody.
I'm Melanie.
And I'm Hal.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.